Okay, so in terms of the two sides of the Ikedamri, so what can we say here? Just a basic, I mean, we tried to give a basic definition yesterday. At least a good description of the two sides, right? The first side sounds like he's learning. It's interesting, by the way. I just noticed, see that the long Tosos, the Tosos Amar Reish Lakish, those in Tam of Gam. So when I first looked at it, I thought it looked exactly like Rashi. I didn't really see what the difference is. But it's interesting, it has a slight difference from Rashi. I don't think the Bach is making any changes that relate to that. Because when we were learning Rashi on the first side, right? So we learned Rashi to mean that even if two things are pogame, right? Meaning to say that there is a pagam, even if there's a pagam of the iser, but there's also a pagam of something else, like the salt. So then we say it's going to be aser, right? Like the lashon of riba tam lefgam, right? Alpha pisha nifgam machmas dov rache, Rashi says. Im hoil isuzela rabos begam mutter. Right? It seems pretty clear to me that the way Rashi's learning is that the first side is saying that it has to be the only pogam, right? But if it's pogam already, because of some reason, and you're adding the iser makes it worse still, then it would be usser. So that's the raya that we paskin like the Ikedamri. Because that's the end of the statement. That's Rabbi Yochanan. Riba tam lefgam is mutter. Riba tam lefgam is mutter. So then the question of the Ikedamri would be, the question between the two sides is when we say no sein tam lefgam is mutter, right? How do we define no sein tam lefgam? What do we mean by no sein tam lefgam? So the thing is that tam, in order to have the phenomenon of tam, what do you need? How is tam differentiated from the thing itself, from the substance itself? Because tam means that it's existing within another entity, right? The thing be'en has its own substance. Tam means that its own substance is gone. Substance is not nicker. You don't see the, like you take iser, you take chazer, and you cook it in your food, and then you pull it out. You can even pull it out. So the substance, we say, is gone, but the tam remains, right? So tam is a phenomenon where you have the substance of heter and a certain quality of the iser existing within the substance of the heter. In order to have the phenomenon, when you eat the chazer itself, we don't call that tam. We call that the substance. You call it tam when you're able to affect another substance with the iser. Right? You can affect another substance with the iser, so we say that effect is an effect of the iser's tam. Correct? Okay. So in order to have the phenomenon of tam, you need to have the substance of heter and then an effect of the iser. So the question is, according to the first shita of Reish Lakish, when we say that iser is mutter binosein tam, so it's really describing that relationship itself. The relationship of the relationship of the tam to the heter, since the phenomenon of tam is a phenomenon of the iser affecting the heter, right? It's like someone said yesterday, there's a certain functional element of its creating an effect in the heter. When the effect is positive, it's aser, but it's mutter if it's a pogim of the heter. So then you'll say, if it's already pogum, we don't call that a pogim. So now you'll have the tam of the iser existing within this heter, and you don't have the patur, the heter of nosin tam of kam doesn't exist, because it has to be that the heter of nosin tam of kam is only when I can ascribe to the iser a negative effect in terms of the tafshil, when I can say it was the cause of the ruin of the tafshil. Well, not ruin is a bit of an exaggeration, but when it's the pogim of the tafshil. But if the tafshil already is pogim, then you don't call it a pogim. Can't be tola and say, like Rashi says, litlos pegam b'tafshil machmas dover acher. So then, ein tolin ha-pegam be-isser. So we have to be able to set aside, we have to be able to set apart the isser from the tavshil in an opposite function of a pogim. You understand? We have to make it as, it'll be usser unless we can isolate it as a pogim of the tavshil. So it has to actually create an opposite effect of being a pogame. As long as it's not creating, in terms of the tavshil, an opposite effect of being a pogame, then it's going to remain usher. Okay? So it has to be the cause of the we have to be able to define its relationship to the heter in a purely negative functional way. But if something already was lifgam to begin with, then the heter, then the iser just has a neutral effect. Then the iser only has a neutral effect. We have to be able to isolate the iser and say its whole existence here only is associated with being a pogame. It's not a positive entity here. It's a negative entity here. It's a pogame of this. It has to be a completely ungracious guest. It has to be existing in as a tam is something is an element of the issue that's existing within the heter. Right. And it has to exist within the heter, it has to come into its existence with the heter, dafka as a negation of something. Dafka as a detrimental factor, dafka as a negative, as something that detracts from the heter. Right? So then we'll say its relationship of tam is its relationship to the heter is as a detractor and not as a detractor, and then therefore it's mutter. Okay? Because that's the whole nature of tam, that it comes in to as an effector of something of the substance of the heter. But if it already was lifgam, then there's nothing really to detract from. That would be the first side. Second side is saying, we don't care about, it's not an issue of the tam, it's not an issue of how it affects the heter. That's not what we're interested in. It only is a tam when it's in the substance of heter. But the nature of the heter of nosin tam of gam doesn't have to do with how it relates to the heter. It just has to do, it's a din in the tam itself. The only thing is, you never have tam itself unless you have it in the situation of heter. But that's not the key factor here. The key factor is, as a tam, something that is pogum as a tam, in terms of itself, the tam itself is a pogum, that then we say a tam that's pogum is not considered the tam. So even if the tafshil itself is pogum, now let me put it this way. Let me try to explain a little bit clearer. The way, just the way to look at it. Now, as you could say, the real question is whether we are looking at the heter or we're just looking at the iser itself. Right? The first side is saying you have to take into account the effect it has on the heter too. Right? It is always something that's interesting to think about. When you hear the term nosein tam lifgam, right? When I tell you a nosein tam lifgam is mutter, a thought might cross your mind. What do we mean nosein tam lifgam is mutter? Does it mean that it's ruining your food? It's making the heter worse? Does it mean it's making the heter bad? Or does it mean, in combination with the heter, it tastes bad? You know what I mean? There's a subtle difference there. That's really the Ikud Amri. What does it mean, a nosein tam lifgam is mutter? What does it mean, nosein tam lifgam is mutter? Is it mutter because of its effect on the heter? You understand? Because of its effect on the heter? Or is it mutter because when it becomes a tam in something else, and the heter, and it interacts with the heter in terms of tam, and its own tam becomes bad, that's why it's mutter?
Doesn't no shame imply that it's giving tam to someone else?
You see, the Mishnah doesn't really say it that way. It's interesting. The Mishnah says, Kol shebahanoso benosin tam osur, kol she'ein bahanoso benosin tam mutter. So what does Rash say? It's a funny expression. It doesn't say, the Mishnah doesn't just flat out say, nosin tam is, doesn't say, nosin tam of gam is mutter. It says, if it's hano as a nosin tam, if there is hano in it as a nosin tam, then it's aser, and if there's no hana in it as a nosein tam, then the hana is mutter. Then it's mutter. But what does that mean exactly? Does that mean because when it goes into the heter, it's taking away the hana of the heter to some degree? Or is it saying when it exists as a tam in something else, if you're not enjoying it, it's mutter? What I'm trying to say is like this. We have an unusual scenario with tam. And that is, you can't talk about tam on its own. It's not possible to talk about tam by itself. Okay? Because if you have tam by itself, you basically have the iser. We don't talk about iser itself as a tam. That's a substance. So in order to have the phenomenon of tam, by definition, you have to have the iser existing within heter. Right? That's just the hechi timtza of a tam. How do I get a tam? How do I get tam, something that I call tam in the Torah as opposed to mamish? By effectuating iser itself, by effectuating heter with the iser. Taking my chazer and cooking it in the heter and then pulling it back out. Right? Then I'll say what's left is called a tam. Or things of the or the taste that's in the kedera, in the pot. That's all the tam. Okay? So in order to have the phenomenon of tam, you need to be a nosein tam. That's the only way you can have a tam. By giving something from the iser to the heter. Flavoring the heter. It's the only way to have the phenomenon of tam. By the process of flavoring. Okay? But the question is the heter of tam lufgam because the process is bad? Because the process of flavoring is detrimental, that's why it's mutter. Because the relationship is bad. Is that the heter, right? Or is the heter no? More simple. The heter is simply that it's true you can't have tam alone, so it has to go into something. But once it's into something, once it's existing as a tam, we just evaluate it as a tam alone. And we say, this tam of the issa, is it worse now because it's in here? You understand? In other words, the question is, You need the process. Is the tam of the iser worse?
Well, when you say worse, what do you mean?
I mean to say, is it giving you an overall negative effect? See, the thing is, because there's a symbiotic, relationship over here between the two tamim, and they impact each other. When we say that the food doesn't taste good because you added the iser, so it's just as much means that the heter doesn't taste good as it means that the iser doesn't taste good, right? Because it means to say that the combination of these two tastes is bad, is worse, right?
Oh, fine, okay.
Okay, you understand?
I was understanding that like the iser had an inherently bad taste that took over.
No, we're not talking about the iser has an inherently bad taste. So
The combination is bad.
So the question is the heter because of the process of the combination, or is the process of the process of the combination is a bad process because it's ruining the heter, right? In terms of effectuating the heter, it's a bad it's a detrimental. That would be the first side. Or is it just saying you don't have a tam to talk about unless the iser is existing inside the heter? But objectively speaking, we just say that a tam that is pogum on its own is mutter. So the nafkamina would be where the heter was already pogum. So in terms of the process, you don't call it detrimental. Okay. But lemaisa, the iser has a bad taste in the heter. So if you say the whole heter stems from the process of being a pogame, meaning to say that we can isolate the heter and label it as the opposite of a flavoring, as a destroyer, then in this case it would be usher, because you can't give it that label since there's another cause. But if the heter is that once I take iser and I reduce it to the level of a tam, then that tam is mutter if it's pogum. So over here lemaisa it's pogum, right? But interestingly, I saw, I just noticed the Tosfos. When the Tosfos gives over the first side, he says it slightly differently. He says, "Halkam mashi duham pegam lo mayri pegam sheyesh litloso b'dover acher kigon bechisaron melech o biyisaron ki osa pegam vadelo hitiru kemo sheilu hoyesa kitikuna memelach v'tavlin hoyo iser nosin tam." So he learns the other possibility that we were discussing yesterday. He sounds like he's learning the objective-subjective way that we were thinking about yesterday. Right? Not that it has to be the only cause, right? But it has to be intrinsically a pogame to this tavshil. Not just lemaisa a pogame. No, it's a measure of the sheer. It's a measure of being a nosin tam of gam. It's only a nosin tam. It's similar. It's similar in terms of el pisvar. It's similar. But he's saying like this: if you had a food, right, that because of its lacking of salt, the iser makes it taste bad. Okay, Gil. You have a food, and salt does a lot of funny things, right? I don't know if you were aware of that. Yeah. You're probably aware of that.
Why?
Because you're more a finicky kind of guy. Salt does a lot of funny things. It changes a lot of other tastes. It changes a lot of tastes. And you're also a scientific guy, chemistry guy. Chemistry.
It's too late. Too late.
I was once I was reading that they're trying to reduce salt in certain foods, and they say that when you reduce the salt to certain amounts, it changes the whole flavor of the food. It doesn't just taste less salty. It actually has different flavors. I mean, if you want to see for yourself, try a piece of salt-free bread. Awful. Worst stuff in the world. Terrible.
No salt, tomato sauce.
No salt, tomato sauce, right. Something
it's
like that. Thing, foods that you don't associate with being salty, but when you take out the salt, the whole flavor changes. Okay? So let's say you had a food like that, that without the salt, the iser would be a pogame. Right? But when you put the salt back in, the iser tastes fine. Right? That's the way Tosus is learning it. That's the way Tosus is learning the two sides. Not that it has to be the only pogame, right? But it has to be a true pogame. It has to be that with regard to what this dish really is, intrinsically, there's no way to remove the pagam of this iser. If I could fix it in some way, if I could add salt and make it and remedy the pagam of the iser, that's not a real lifgam. Okay, so it would be more likely, that would be more like what we said yesterday, the objective versus subjective. But I still think it has to do with the same basic svara. With the same basic svara. I don't know if you noticed, but when we were discussing the first side of Rashi, there's like one part of the argument that I have to sort of, I try to like say it a little quicker than the rest. Sort of like thin ice. Where you have to accept the fact that if something is already pogum, if the food is already pogum, the extra pagam of the iser is considered doing nothing. I'm not totally comfortable with that idea.
Who says that?
If you're going to learn the way we're learning Rashi, meaning to say, in order to define the iser as a pogam of the tavshil, as a negative, as a detrimental effect, then it has to be that the heter at first was good. But if it already was a little pogrom, we don't call it a detrimental effect. I'm a little uneasy about that, because, there's good, there's pogrom, there's more pogrom, and more pogrom. You know, why can't you say two grades below good is also detrimental? You know, it's sort of like a too black and white to me. You know, everything is either perfect or bad, you know, a little more shades of gray. So, according to the way we were learning, the way we were interpreting Rashi, you'd have to say an idea like that. But according to Tosos, I think it comes down to a similar idea, that it has to be, according to the first side, they're looking at it in terms of the Tavshil, but in terms of what the Tavshil really is, not in terms of how it is right now. In other words, if I can say that right now I could make the tavshil better, so then that means that this iser vis-a-vis the tavshil is not objectively a detrimental effect. If we're looking at it, it still is the same line of reasoning. The first side is looking in terms of its effect, in terms of its relationship to the tavshil. Second side is looking at it just as a tam alone. But when you look at it in terms of the tavshil itself, you have to look at it by how it's really, what's its true impact on the tavshil. So if the tavshil could be improved and the pagam would be removed, then you can't really define it categorically as a detriment to the tavshil. It's just at this moment the tavshil is lacking something, but it's not intrinsically a pogam, right? So the two sides basically. Although we have slightly different versions of the first side, basically it comes down to whether the chilek is more or less along the same lines. The first side is looking at the pogame in terms of its effect on the tavshil and defining it as intrinsically a detriment, either the way we're learning Rashi, that it has to be the only cause of it, or like we're learning Tosos, that it has to be an intrinsic cause of the detriment. That's the only way to define it categorically as an intruder into the tavshil, but the second side is saying was just the whole heter is just a way to have the phenomenon of tam, but we really are judging the tam itself. And if right now it's pogum, it's pogum. The only difference, the only reason we'd be concerned about if you can add salt is in terms of defining it vis-a-vis the heter. So we could say you don't define something in compromised situations. You want to know what something is intrinsically, you have to give it its best chance. So you don't define something based on a handicapped situation of this, based on the compromised situation. Right? You don't say a guy is not a good runner when you put 20-pound weights on his feet. Right? You want to know how good of a runner is, You got to let him run free. So you want to know, if we're trying to figure out if this Isser is a detriment to the Tavshil, we have to make the Tavshil. We can only judge that in the situation of the Tavshil being in its best form. But if we're only concerned about a din that the phenomenon of Tam as a phenomenon is mutter when it's pogum, so right now it's a phenomenon of Tam. You understand? The only difference between whether you could add salt or not is in terms of its definition vis-a-vis the Tavshil as a whole. But in terms of the Tam being pogum, of course it's definitely pogum. Develop a little further. Okay, so now we're going to take a little bit of a detour into the Tam kicker question. Okay, so let's start the let's go back to the Gemara. Omer Rabbi Avo, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Shetaimo Umamasho Oser VeLokan Olav. So if you have Tam and Mamish, it's Oser, and you get Malchus. VeZeu Kizayis BeGedechilas Pras. Taimo VeLomamashu Oser VeEin Lokan Olav. That statement has given many Rishonim sleepless nights. Okay. Everybody's trying to work out that statement. Okay, so let's just take Rashi. You tell me what he's saying. Kol shetaimo umamasho. Oser velokan olav. Vizehu kizayis bekadeh chilas pras. So, ve'al kigon ze ne'mar shir kizayis bekadeh chilas pras halacha lemosh misinai. So what is Rashi saying, first of all? He's trying to interpret the vizehu, right? That's what's bothering him. What do you mean vizehu? What does it mean vizehu it bothers him? Al kigon ze ne'emar shiur kezayis b'ketei achilas pras halacha moshe misinai. So what's Rashi's implying? What is his, what's Rashi's question? The old, what's Rashi's question? What is bothering him? Vizehu kizayis b'kedei chilas pras. What does vizehu imply? No. I think. I don't know. I have to see if you agree. I think vizehu, Rashi saying, implies like a reference to something that we know about. Like, we know there's this idea of halach lamosh mishinai kizayis b'kedei chilas pras. This is what it's talking about. He's not saying what is the shear of something. It is a. He's saying taimo umamasho. That's what the old halach lamosh misinai that we are familiar with is referring to.
Hello.
Right. That's what he's saying. Yeah. Ve'al kigon ze on a case like this of taimo umamasho ne'emar shear kizayis b'kedei chilas pras. Notice he's not teaching you something new. He's not teaching you a new shear. Rabbi Yochanan is not coming up with a new shear of kizayis b'kedei chilas pras. But he's saying, the old shear that we're very familiar with, that we've heard of, that there's a halach lamosh misinai of kizayis b'kedei chilas pras, it's about something like this that it's referring to. Okay. What does it mean? She'im yesh b'kishiur pras shel tavshil kizayis min ha'iser. If there is within a shear of pras. Okay, we'll come to what that is in a minute. But a certain volume, if there is within a certain volume that's called a pras of a food, a kizayis of iser, right? So in other words, you have the total amount of your food is a pras. Contained within that pras is one full kizayis of iser. Then that's halacha lemosh misinai, that lokan alav. Why? Afal pi shein kizayis shel iser ne'echal bevas achas. Now here's the question you have to answer for me. How much of this pras did you eat? Okay? It's fairly obvious from Rashi, right? So even though you did not eat a kezias of the Isser at once, why did you not eat it at once? Because it's spread out over the whole pras, right? Kevan shet de'eno shoheb achiloso misha hischir le'ochlo ache gomro ela kidei achilas pras. Right, so since he didn't wait from the beginning till the end more than the shear of achilas pras, because he was constantly eating the whole pras, right? He wasn't taking a break. Mitzdarefes achiloso veloke. So what does that mean? What's mitzdarefes? The kizayis of the iser is mitzdaref. Avol im ein b'kidei achilas pras shel tav shel iser. But if you don't have a pras, if you don't have avol im ein b'kidei achilas pras shel tav shel iser, if you don't have a kizayis within the achilas pras of iser, if you don't have the kizayis of iser within the achilas pras, hohil v'shoheb achiloso kizayis yosem mikidei achilas pras. Since you're waiting for a shear that's now, did the bach switch change this up? Because this needs a little bit of work. How does he change it? Yosir mi bikidei, right. He says, ho will v'shoa b'chiloso kizayis yoser mi b'kidei achilas pras havilu k'shtei achilos shel shnei yam v'ein lokin. So basically like this, if you had a kizayis, let's say I had an achilas pras, right? And within it is one kizayis, and I sit down and I eat the whole thing from start to finish without taking a break. So what is that considered in terms of the iser? It's considered one maisa achila of the iser. Okay? It's considered that the iser was eaten bevas achas. That's the halacha of Moshe Sinai of kizayis bekedei achilas pras. You don't have to eat one kizayis in one gulp. You have to eat one kizayis in one shiur achila. And what is the shiur achila? Kizayis bekedei achilas pras. One kizayis and the amount of time it takes to eat a shear that's called a pras. So if I have a kizayis in a pras and I eat it all, be lokia, because all the entities of mitzdarf into one achila. But if I have a kizayis in greater than the achilas pras, if I take a little bit of a break in my achilas pras, then I don't get malchus. Why? I eat the kizayis. Why is there no malchus? Because it's no different than eating one half kizayis today and one half kizayis tomorrow. It's not a kizayis in one achila. You only get malchus. We don't run a clock from the beginning of your bar mitzvah till you die. How many every little bite you eat adds up to when you hit the kizayis, you get malchus. It has to be one kizayis in one achila. Okay, but al zeh nemar shir kizayis lechilas pras lochem Moshe Sinai. This is the application of the lochem Moshe Sinai for the shear of achila. Okay. The kimlu rabbanan achilas pras have shear shehias achila. It's interesting thing how he first says halacha Moshe Sinai, but now he says kimlu rabbanan. But anyway, that they figured out that the achila of a pras is the normal shear of shehias achila. That's the duration of one achila. Is an achilas pras. And how much is a pras? It's a chatzi kikar shel eruvei techumen. And how much is the kikar? V'shi'aru chachamim kikar mi gimel lekav. Chetzia lebeis hamenuga. All right. So remember, so how much did it come out in the end? Arba beitzim, according to Rashi. Four beitzim. Okay. Kama hi achila kidei achilas pras hu arba beitzim. So if you had four beitzim total, and one kizayis in there, right? Not one kizayis plus four beitzim. The whole total is four beitzim, and one of it is kizayis. So then we say it's like you ate the kizayis in one achila. Okay. So that's taimo umamasho. Okay, that's taimo. So if I would just ask you quickly, what is the chiddush of taimo umamasho according to Rashi? The kizayis b'gnei achilas pras you get malchus on. It's just teaching you the shiur al achila. Right, it's talking about the shear of achila. It's saying you don't need to eat the iser in one kizayis at once. You can have it. You can even have, and it's not even if I take half a kizayis now and half a kizayis later, within the time frame of achila's pras. But even if the achila of the iser is contained in the achila of heter, but the whole duration is less than the whole duration of the kezias is within the shear of achilas pras, that's considered like eating the kezias alone in one achila, right? It's all a din of the shear of being mitzaref the achila. That's the whole din of the first statement of Rabbi Yochanan according to Rashi, right? Okay. Does it sound like it has anything to do with Tom Kicker? No, not at all. Now, but time of Aloma Mosho is Usher of Ain Lokan Alav. So what does that mean? Who's good with the vowels? You gotta be good with vowels here. Kigon.
Cholov.
Shenofal Lekadeva. Oh. Chelev. Shenofal. Alright. Nimuach. Shein Ma Mosho Ben. So what is taimo v'lo mamasho? It's like milk that falls into a pot of meat. Or like fat that falls in and disintegrates. That's not mamasho be'en. It's mamash is not be'en. Its substance is not be'en. Then it's what? Aser v'ein lokan alav. What about kezias b'gdei chilas pras?
No consideration.
You just have to be usher? Well, there's no mark again. Gil.
How is Rashi saying?
Yeah, but that's why maybe that's why
Sha'in Mamasho Ben. Like, how's he saying Ain Mamasho Ben?
Yeah, so what does it mean Ain Mamasho Ben? What does Ben mean?
Natural state.
In its natural state. So if I have butter. Let's take butter, right? You ever take butter and you mix it into your oatmeal?
Oh, yeah.
Right? You can't see it. It's gone. But you taste it. Buttery, right? So that is taimo v'loma mashal going to Rashi. So what was he talking about in the first case? Always the substance. So it's very clear. I mean, it's very clear. It's clear that at least this Rashi is learning a very interesting halacha, a very interesting din. That when do you get malchus on iser?
Were you actually eating the substance?
Only when you eat it ben. There is no malchus on iser that's not ben. And the first case of Rashi, he never says anything about it being nimuach. It's just nisarev. I'll give you a very simple example of the first case in Rashi. A ham sandwich on club. Kezias of ham in the middle. 3.5 batesim of bread around it. Maybe a little lettuce, tomato. That might be going over the limit over there. But basically, it's a question of, did I eat the kezias of the ham in one maisa achila? Right, how many kezesim is a beitza? You could be right with two answers. How many kezesim in a beitza? How many kezesim in a beitza? Anyone know?
Two
or three. Depends who you hold like. Two or three. So let's say three. I think Rashi is three. So then four beitzim is how many kezesim? It's 12 kezesim. Right, so 1/12 of the whole thing is if 1/12 of the whole sandwich is iser, and you eat that whole sandwich like a normal shiur of achila, then that is taimo umamosho is also velokanolov. Why is it a taimo? Good question. Why is it a taimo? That's a good question. Simple answer to that is it means that it's not bottle. It means it's like a mimbashin amino. It's not like a mix-up of, you know, nevela and shchuta in one thing. You don't know what's what. You can tell exactly what is what. The first case going to Rashi is not a question. It's very clear what is what. I know I've got my bread, and I got my the ham. I know I've got the lettuce, the tomato. Question is, when are you considered to be eating a kezias of this? Because when are you considered to be doing one achilas kezias that's worthy of malchus? Okay, if you have the kezias within the shear of kedei achilas pras, that's it. The second case is totally different. Second case is a case where I no longer have the ban. I no longer have the ban. No longer have the ban, that's chayev but no malchus. So the first case is a question of the shear of achila. The second case is a question of the substance itself. But it's a strange kind of a din according to Rashi. I mean, I take the iser, I take the chaylev, that's aser, and I put it into the oatmeal, and I know I put a kezias in, and it's not there's no malchus. That's not called eating the I mean, Torah says don't eat chaylev. I took the chaylev, I put it into the food, and I ate it. Why is it not malchus? I mean,
how do you know something that kezias?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't seem like it matters. If it wasn't a kezias, then even in the first case it would be. Then why switch the case to time of lo amasho? Even time of uma amasho, if it's not a kezias, b'kedei achilas pras, we already get that from the first case. That you only get malchus when it's a kezias, when it's time of uma amasho. So what's changing in this? You don't need to tell me when it's not a kezias, you don't get malchus in time of uma amasho. So time of mamasho is when it's roi for malchus, and when it's roi for malchus, you have to have it in the shear of achila. But time of alo mamasho is just not roi for malchus. If it's roi for malchus, then it's no different than time of mamasho. It's just a question of shear. So it seems he holds you only chayev malchus on iser be'en. Phenomenal concept. It's a phenomenal concept. Doesn't feel right. It's just as much chaylev. It's chaylev. It's in there. You're eating it. What's missing? What is missing? Yeah. It's not bottle. Not bottle. Still says zasser. Whether that's Nisa Dereis or Drabbanan, I think it's Rashi holds Nisa Drabbanan. This is what he holds is Tom Kicker. And he holds Tom Kicker is only Asim Drabbanan.
If you have the...
So it reminds me of a certain halacha that... reminds me of a different halacha that you might be might be familiar with. And that is that we say that Yayin Nesach, right, is Batel B'Sheish. Right? Whiskey drinkers know this. And beer drinkers too? You have that?
They have groups.
So, whereas normally Isser is bottle and Shishim, for some reason, Yayin Nesach is bottle B'Sheish. It's so far from Shishim, it's hard to understand how it could be a bottle B'Sheish, right? So Moshe is a chew about it, and he explains...
Yayin Nesach.
Anything. Either one. Yeah. He explains... not into other yayin though, only into other liquids.
Yeah.
Not into food and not into yayin, only into other liquids like water or juices. Juice is a question, but definitely into water. So he explains that the idea is that what is the bittel of the yayin nesach? Now there's two types of bittel. Sometimes you have a bittel that we have the substance and we nullify it completely, we nullify its effect completely. So I'll say if I take Isser and I go into Shishim of Heter, it has no more tam in the Heter. Its effect is completely gone, right? It's hard to say that's happening in 1 and 6. So where is the Bittel? Where is the Bittel? In the Shem Yayin itself. Yayin that's diluted so far that it's only 1/6 of the total loses the shame yayin. Now it's a wine drink. It's a, what do they call it? It's like a wine cooler now. You can't call it wine anymore. You don't make a bar pier guffin on it. It's no longer, it doesn't have the shame yayin. So yayin nesach is only usher while it's as a yayin, not as a substance. You understand? So it would seem that Rashi's learning a similar idea by regular Isurim. When you have chaylev that's nimuach into the grisin, and you still taste it, there's not a bittel of its effect, right? The tam is there. But the Isser is only chal on the shame chelev as it exists as an entity. But once it's nimuach into something else, it loses the shame chelev. It's no longer an there's no identifiable substance of chelev that you can talk about. The Isser is chal on the cheftza of the shame chelev in the Torah. The Isser doraisa is only on the shame chelev. When it's a nimuach, it's no longer as a shame chelev. It's an amazing idea. It's an amazing idea. It's so far from the way we relate to kashrus as just things that we have to keep as far away from as possible. You know, like harmful substances. It's really like a completely conceptual din. That the Isser is chal on what? Torah says chelev? Well, it's only extant in the entity insofar as it maintains its shame chelev. Nimuach is no longer considered be'en. It's no longer a chelev. Now you have to have another din. Either you hold tam kicker or you don't. But if you don't have a tam kicker, you don't have anything anymore. It's like by chametz. Like chametz too. There's a riboy of tarovas chametz. There's chametz and there's tarovas chametz. We don't treat them the same halachically.
If you just drink milk and chelev?
That would be ben. Problem with chelev is it's disgusting to eat. Yeah.
What made us like all of a sudden